Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. A non-small cell lung cancer, or NSCLC, diagnosis can be devastating for patients and their families, so it's critical to arm oncologists with education on the latest research into biomarkers, such as the KRAS gene, in preparation for those hard conversations. The KRAS G12C mutation specifically accounts for approximately 50% of all KRAS mutations in NSCLC, and approximately 14% of patients with NSCLC have a KRAS G12C mutation. A new website called KRASregeneration.com aims to educate physicians about the prolific nature of the KRAS G12C mutation. Here with us today to discuss KRAS G12C and KRASregeneration.com is Virginia Cancer Specialist Medical Oncologist Alex Spira, MD, PhD, FACP. Dr. Spira is also a director at the Virginia Cancer Specialist Cancer Research Institute and co-chair of the U.S. Oncology Thoracic Oncology Committee. This episode is sponsored by Mirati Therapeutics, Inc. So Dr. Spira, let's begin by framing KRAS mutations, since we're all reading about it in oncology news quite a bit. Can you frame for us what these common mutations are, and then what do we know about them?
KRAS is the most frequently mutated oncogene. We've known about it for quite some time, you know, for years and decades, and we've been trying to target it for quite some time. It represents a very aggressive cancer phenotype due to its relentless ongoing synthesis every 24 to 48 hours. So in essence, it keeps regenerating itself. It's been very, very important for lots of reasons, and this is going to be the recurrent theme over today's discussion. We've known about it for quite some time. We've tried to target it for quite some time, and we used to call it the undruggable target. So it's been very frustrating, and we'll get into a couple of minutes, you know, why it's become so important, but it's been an area of frustration because it's so frequently mutated. It also means, as an oncogenic driver, it means it causes the cancer to develop. So in theory, if you can turn the gene off, the cancers will regress. So it's been very frustrating until now that we haven't been able to really target it. It's so common. It represents an aggressive phenotype in many cancers, but especially non-small cell lung cancer. And because of that, it's been a huge area of interest over all these years.
And how prevalent are KRAS G12C mutations in these patients who present with non-small cell lung cancer?
KRAS mutations in general represent about a quarter of all lung cancer patients. So if you think about that, that is the most frequent driver mutation there is. Now you have to look at KRAS a little bit more broken down. They all have different changes and they're not all the same. But if you look, KRAS G12C in particular, and what that basically means that a single amino acid at 0.12 has gone from a G to a C, that accounts for about 50% of all KRAS mutations. So if you do the math, that means it's about 14% of all lung cancer patients will have a KRAS G12C mutation. That would make it the most important biomarker there is simply by numbers, just thinking about it that way. So that's why it's become so important to talk about as well. Again, I think one of the other things to talk about is while we're talking about the prevalence of KRAS mutations is biomarker testing. What that basically means is, are we asking the question, do our patients have an oncogenic driver that you can test for? And that's super important for many, many reasons. And I'll say this a couple of times during today's podcast. You can't treat for a mutation if you don't test for that mutation. We've been talking about this. This has been a recurrent theme since the advent of the first biomarker, which was EGFR, now about 15 or so years ago. But we know we're not doing enough biomarker testing. And whether or not you do it on blood or on tissue, it's so important to test.
And within mutations to the KRAS protein, there is a specific G12C mutation, which has also been talked about quite a bit. Can you frame up the G12C mutation in patients with non-small cell lung cancer? And how do you address this mutation with your patients?
So first and foremost, it's the most common one. We said that before, so that means it's very important, obviously. So we know that is a single point mutation. Again, what G12C means, the 12th amino acid is shifted from a G to a C. We know that this is associated with worse survival compared with other KRAS mutations. In other words, it bodes for a more aggressive phenotype. And it's also been shown to decrease the likelihood of survival in non-small cell lung cancer. How do I address with my patients? It's obviously a very broad question. First and foremost is education. So, now that we're going to be having some drugs that help target this, you have to talk about what that mutation is and explain what an oncogenic driver is. And I explain it to my patients that you have a gene that's mutated. We don't know why it's mutated. That's the next question. How did I get this? But now that it's mutated, what does that mean? Well, it means if you have this mutation and you turn this mutation off, then the cancer cell should, in theory, die. And we know with the advent of these drugs, that's in essence what's happening. But that's how I explain it to my patients. I also explain, and this I think is equally as important when somebody walks in the door, and again, it's not just for KRAS, but it's for any oncogenic driver, that we need to interrogate the tumor. And that's, a lot of people use different words. One of my friends used the word interrogate. Others say, do an analysis of the tumor, but basically we need to see if your tumor has any mutations that causes the cancer to grow. I tell people almost uniformly, if we find one, it's not a cure, but by treating appropriately, it can make a huge difference in both how the tumor responds and how they feel. And that's why it's so important to test. And it's one of my recurrent themes among my colleagues at US Oncology, as well as when I give, this is not the only talk I've given, but I always talk how important it is to test for these mutations.
And it also comes with other issues that don't bode well for patients, correct?
Yeah, so G12C is associated with a higher propensity of brain metastases. This is important for various reasons. Number one is brain metastases are important, right? I mean, when you tell somebody they have brain metastases, they obviously think, that it's their brain, which is what makes us, right? So they immediately, look down and can't believe it, number one. Number two is they're hard to deal with because, the brain is a confined area. So if you have a brain metastasis, a 1 centimeter lesion in the brain is so important because you get some swelling there. And because there's nowhere to grow, that little tiny lesion can cause massive side effects. So that's why it's so important to be thinking about things. And any drug that can penetrate the brain obviously has an advantage. So not only does G12C have a tendency for higher brain metastases, as we think about treatments, it's also very important to look at.
Oftentimes when the industry talks about data, it's easy to forget that there's a face of a patient behind every data point. So what does the KRAS research and education ultimately mean for patients?
So yeah, I mean, you couldn't have said it better, right? I mean, we look at curves, we look at survival curves, and you look at these and every dot on there is somebody. So when somebody falls off the curve, it's, there are patients behind those numbers and we can never forget about that. And I keep getting reminded about that every day in clinic. So, when you look at KRAS research, and this is a huge percent of lung cancer patients, right? And we still have a lot of work to do. I mean, we're talking a lot today about KRAS G12C. There's a lot of other KRAS mutations in the future that we need to be looking at as well, because those are patients also. But the opportunity to find drugs that can target these mutations will make a huge difference because, every patient that gets treated with a drug against their KRAS mutation, specifically G12C, we made a lot of headway about the standard of care in lung cancer treatment over the last few years. If you look at the survival curves, the overall improvement in survival of lung cancer has been huge. It's one of the few cancers that we've really made a dent with. And it was published, I think, in the New England Journal a few years ago, how much the treatments have changed and how much of a patient impact it has. Now, that being said, for most of our patients, we have one treatment. If you have a KRAS mutation, you have chemo and immunotherapy for the average patient. So we're still struggling to find that next round of treatment. So having a drug that targets this new mutation opens up a vast new treatment option for a lot of patients. And again, we have drugs that target c-MET and RET and ALK. There we're talking, 1% to 5% of patients, and they're huge. Here we have drugs that could be targeting, 14, 15% of patients. Lung cancer is still the most common malignancy that takes people's lives. So it's a huge impact that we have.
And in your opinion, do we have the knowledge to address all types and complications that are associated with the KRAS mutation?
So, interestingly, Mirati started studying this a few years ago and trying to understand it. And there's been a ton of clinical work on their behalf. And to be fair, they put a huge commitment to education about this mutation and bringing treatment to market for these patients. So they're clear leaders in this space and that cannot be overlooked by anybody. Do we have all the knowledge to address all the types and complications associated? No, there needs to be ongoing research. Remember, when a drug gets FDA approved, it's been tested in 100 patients, 150 patients. That is a very limited data set. You then have to start looking at other things. First and foremost, why does it work in some and why does it not work in some? I mean, while these drugs work great, there is a curve where it doesn't work in everybody. And then secondarily, why does it stop working? What are the things that cause it to stop working? There's a huge undertaking of research there. You have to look at things like brain metastases. You know, that is something that easily gets overlooked, but it's incredibly important. And you either need to do larger studies. And one of the things that you have to think about when you're doing these studies in, you know, patients with brain metastases, it's hard. The patients may have a lot of comorbidities. It's not fraught with success, right? So you can, if you're asking a question, does it work in these rare mutations and it doesn't work, are you jeopardizing the development of your drug? So there's a lot of other work that has to be done. And then quickly, once you start to see activity of these drugs, guess what? Now you have to start looking, what are you going to do next? So the first question is, as soon as you have hints of activity, how do you make it better? And what do you do when the drug stops working? And that often involves a huge amount of work and years in the planning. And my hat is off to Mirati, who's been a true leader in this space, really beginning to look at it both at the onset and then now looking at new modalities, you know, hopefully coming to bay in the next several years.
Right. And given treatments for patients with this mutation are coming to the market, what is the latest data that's out there and is it promising?
Yeah. So, you know, there are drugs out there for KRAS G12C. Currently, they're being studied mainly, you know, the first work, which is what typically happens, is in the second line of treatment, meaning you get one therapy and then that therapy no longer works and you test an experimental therapy in what we would call the second line of treatment. And that's where the drugs are there. So, and there are drugs in this class, several drugs that show activity right now and are making and will make a difference for our patients in the future. So it's super important. It's also important that as we think about how these drugs work and how KRAS turns over every 24 to 48 hours, how important it is to sustain inhibition of a mutant KRAS broadly. You know, KRAS regenerates every, you know, 24 to 48 hours. And it's important to keep that drug on target for that time to help prevent the tumor cells from growing. So that is super important as we think about the biology of the drug and how we treat this. So again, a lot has been done right now to get us here. And now we're beginning to look at these KRAS drugs in other settings, brain metastases, first line of treatment, and combinations as well.
Great. And so education of KRAS and the various mutations seems to be of critical importance among the community oncologists. Mirati has launched KRASregeneration.com, a website for HCPs. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so there's a lot to talk about here, number one. So the first thing that you do, and you can imagine how the conversation goes, you walk into, you know, a patient, you say, Mrs. Jones, Mr. Smith, you have a lung cancer, your tumor has this mutant KRAS gene called KRAS G12C. And they look at you, what the heck is KRAS? And then what's G12C? So it's super important to do a lot of education around this, because what do you think the patient's going to do? They're going to go home and Google KRAS G12C. I mean, that's what people do, right? So it's super important to educate everybody in the world, but both patients and oncologists, to what this is. And then, of course, secondarily, what the treatments are. And this is important for many reasons. Number one is, again, patients are their own best advocate. They want to hear, they want to learn, they want to take ownership. I think all of us, you know, you today, Christy, you know, we're talking today, you're hearing about this, but if, you know, you had something, you'd want to look this up, you'd want to become your own advocate. So what typically happens is, you know, I tell them they have this, they write some notes down, they're overwhelmed, and the next time they come in with a list of questions from Dr. Google. And this is one of the ways they'll get to that, number one. Number two, it's also critically important to test. And again, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We have to do constant education. You know, we've just been part of some studies that have shown that even though we've known there are a lot of mutations out there with either FDA approved indications or imminently FDA approved indications or great clinical trials, that we are not doing as good a job of testing as we should. And it requires constant education for providers, physicians, oncologists, of course, especially, to test our patients for these mutations. You can test by blood, you can test by tissue. Any test is better than no test, but test. One of the important things right now is, as we're at the cusp with, you know, KRAS G12C drugs approved or going to be approved, you know, we've had to re-educate some physicians. But, you know, by the way, you may have checked for somebody for this 2 years ago. You should go back in the medical record and see if somebody had a mutation, because you might have. There was nothing you can do about it back then, but now there is. So it's super important that we do this. And, you know, Mirati is educating an oncologist to do this. That also means the patients will be educated as well. But this is a super important part to doing this as well. And then I think one more little shout out right now is, you know, clinical trials. You know, if you look at the NCCN guidelines or all the guidelines out there, please, you know, consider putting your patients on a clinical study. It is always the best care here. And it's something we should all consider at any point in a patient's care, whether or not you have KRAS or not. But we wouldn't have gotten this far in testing people for KRAS mutations and newer treatments coming without all the clinical studies. And again, to remind everybody, you know, KRAS is rather unique. It's something super important to realize that it continuously regenerates. To that, in order to effectively disrupt it, you probably need sustained inhibition. That means you need to be thinking about drugs that cause this, number one. And then secondarily, reminding patients to be compliant with their drug. And, you know, that's, you know, seems like it should be obvious, but it's not. Patients often forget. So it's very important to think about. And so there's a website, krasregeneration.com, and that's really working to build awareness of the KRAS mutation among healthcare providers and identify what this mutation is, understanding the rapid turnover of the gene, understand how KRAS continually regenerates.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcast. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.